Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. Today on Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, I am welcoming in a big name in the digital media space, and Mr. Sonny Pinkney. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation by using hashtag Listen In with KNN.
Looking for winning sports picks and predictions? Since 1971, Dot Sports has been recognized as one of the most trusted names in the sports handicapping industry. For the listeners of this very show, Dot Sports is giving out $60 worth of their premium member picks for free. These are the exact same premium member picks that 1,000 of their current members pay for. And guess what? You get them for free. Just text the word radio to the number 29022. Text radio to the number 29022 for instant access. Doc Sports also provides free picks on every single game. You want NBA picks? Simply Google search Doc's NBA picks. NHL picks? Google search Doc's NHL picks. Need MLB picks? Google search Doc's MLB picks. Remember to text the word radio to the number 29022 and start winning today with Doc Sports Service.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports town of the district and beyond. It's now time to welcome in Feedback the Magazine founder, Mr. Sonny Pinkney. Sonny, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing okay, Kelsey. How you doing tonight?
I'm wonderful. I'm so happy to have you. And Sonny, there's just so much to talk about in sports. But before we get into sports talk, I want people to know more about you. So, of course, you are the founder of Feedback the Magazine. But tell me a little bit more about your story and how did you get to where you are today?
Well, as you know, Kelsey, I'm an alum of Howard University.
HU, the real HU.
Yeah, the real HU, stand up. Yes. I came up with the concept in 2004. I just wanted to create stories that get untold by the mainstream media. And so I just came up with Feedback the Magazine. I just was riding home one night, or driving home one night, I should say, in 2004. And the idea and the name just clicked in my head.
Yeah, and the rest was history, obviously, with what you do. So, I mean, how did you get the title Feedback? I'm really curious about that.
Well, it was something like I was wrestling with because I was at Howard. And, of course, I took, you know, journalism classes. I was doing a lot of internships. And my goal was to be a sports reporter. And I got real close working at Comcast Sportsnet and writing for the Metro Philadelphia newspaper. But it was just something that came to my head. I can't really pinpoint. But I know people may find it's hard to believe, but it just literally came in my head, Feedback the Magazine, because, like I said, I was wrestling over with names, and Feedback the Magazine was different. So that's what I came up with, feedbackthemagazine.com.
Nice. And, you know, I have to say, there's so many of us Comcast Sportsnet alums all over and just doing it in sports and entertainment and honestly in media, because I also went through the Comcast Sportsnet internship program, and look at us now, huh?
Yes. Well, I didn't intern at Comcast Sportsnet. I was actually working at Comcast Sportsnet in Philadelphia for close to 10 years, but I did intern.
Wow.
I did intern at WUSA Sports Department under Joyce Jackson, Levin Reed, and Ismere Payton. And I also interned at NBC4 in Washington, George Michael Sports Machine.
Oh, George Michael, who can forget just all the great things that he did in sports in this in and around this area, but I mean, a true icon. And Joyce Jackson, who I know now, is over at Laurel TV. So you just had some huge names in the media industry and truly people that really wanted to help others come through.
Yes, Joyce Jackson. When I get a chance to talk to her, I literally thank her for putting me in a position that I'm in today. Like, if it wasn't for Joyce Jackson, I don't know where I would be there. I can tell you a quick story. When I went on my first internship, when I went out to report to get sound, I was so nervous. And she told me, "Sonny, there's not time to get nervous. This is what you want to do." I'm paraphrasing, but yeah, she just gave me she gave me that quick pep talk. And from there, I was nervous, like, because I wasn't expecting to go out and actually get interviews. I was interviewing high school football players, and I wasn't expecting that. Like, I was expecting to actually push papers or something like that. But she,
yeah,
she's actually put me in the fire,
which is great.
And I put me in the fire, so I'm grateful for her.
Yeah, I mean, it's good you got to get your feet wet and everything. And I mean, that's why she is honestly who she is. And just continuing on, I mean, you have a great story. Tell people more before I forget it. Tell people more about where they can read your magazine and how can they subscribe to it.
Well, they can go on feedbackthemagazine.com. It's an online website at the moment. And I'm on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, under Feedback the Magazine. And also I have a YouTube channel under Feedback the Magazine. So, and I can be contacted. Email address is feedbackthemagazine@yahoo.com. We welcome all stories. And basically we basically tell untold stories that get ignored by the mainstream media, because everybody has a story and everybody has a talent.
Yes, that platform is just wonderful. And I've had the privilege of actually being featured in Feedback the Magazine. Shout out to my booking producer and sales manager, Dean Petrea, for getting me in there and writing such a great write-up. But honestly, not just because I was in it, but it's a great publication. So truly check it out. And Sonny, do you mind if we get into some sports talk?
No, sure. My background's in sports.
See, so we're going to talk some good sports today. And so before, I like to usually kick off my segment, of course, it's my Doing It Big in the DMV segment. But before I even get there, I want to pay a quick tribute to the great Manu Ginobili, 41 years old, who was hanging it all up after 16 years in the NBA and 4 championships with the San Antonio Spurs. Sonny, I just remember watching Ginobili growing up, and I mean, that man can play some basketball. He makes the Spurs look great, his country of Argentina. And when he was hanging it all up, you really had to look back. It doesn't feel like it's been 16 years. But I mean, he's a legacy, right?
Yeah, it makes me feel old. I remember the 2004 Athens Olympics when he and Luis Scola basically put Argentina on their backs and basically defeated the United States in the Olympics. Like, I never thought I would live to see the day that the
– Oh, my God.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it the dream team, but basically the USA men's basketball team will ever lose a game. And for them to believe they won the bronze medal, I believe they won a bronze medal in 04. So he had a great career, and that means I'm getting old.
It means we're both getting old. Oh, my gosh. I was just like, wow. And just for his accomplishments speak for themselves. But honestly, if you can go back and watch some film when this man played, you understand he knew and loved the game of basketball and really set a precedent in it. I mean, okay.
Yes, he created the Euro step. And, you know, he's like the first. Yeah, like, you know, people don't realize what attributes he brought to the game overseas. And the Spurs, actually, I have to give them credit because they were the first NBA organization to basically recruit overseas players, because back in the early 90s, the mid-90s, word around the league, you know, foreign players were too soft and they couldn't adjust to the American game. And I believe that the Spurs made it vogue with drafting, even though Tim Duncan's from the Virgin Islands. They drafted him, Tony Parker, Ginobili, those guys. They actually, they're the forerunners to drafting overseas players. So
that's huge. I mean, just think about it now. We're used to overseas players, right?
So it was.
Right, you hear those names, you're like, what? But now we're more used to, even though, you know, you might not know them, but you know we do it over here, and you know they can play some basketball over there.
Yes, of course. And they when it's all said and done, those guys will be in the Hall of Fame along with Greg Popovich. They will be in the Hall of Fame. And maybe the general manager, too, R.C. Buford, you know, can't get his accomplishments.
Yes, and you see why we had to start off honoring him. Newspapers from around the world honored him. And, of course, San Antonio will truly and nearly miss the great. I can't say great enough for this man, but Ginobili, we thank you for all you have done for basketball. Google is I'm not going to go through all the stats, but that would take up the whole show because that is truly how accomplished he is. But going back now to my Doing It Big in the DMV segment, Sonny, the Washington Mystics here are giving us in D.C. We've been kind of spoiled, Sonny. We had the Caps win the championship. We had our arena football team, the Washington Valor, win the championship. So now we're hoping for the Mystics. But that might get halted because Elena Deladon, who, of course, is a star here in Washington for the team, unfortunately, she slipped as she was driving to the basket late in the game against the Atlanta Dreams in the semifinals. And unfortunately, the Washington Mystics ended up losing to the Dream 78-75. Now, the big news, of course, is what happened to Deladon and what is the extent of her injury. The Washington Mystics on Wednesday released this report. The Washington Mystics forward Elena Deladon will be listed as questionable for game 3 of the team's WNBA semifinal series against the Atlanta Dream. Of course, Deladon suffered a left knee bone bruise in the fourth quarter during game 2 of the series. All right, so this broke a lot of our hearts. But let me just ask you something. When you just look at this Washington Mystics team, do you think they can get the job done without EDD?
Without Deladon, no, because she is like the Kobe Bryant of the Mystics. You know, like they need her. Like in Philly, like we don't have a WNBA team, and by her playing at the University of Delaware for 4 years, she's kind of like the adopted daughter of Philadelphia / Delaware, the tri-state area, or have you. So they can't win if they don't have Deladon. I'm just being honest. So yeah, she needs to get a shot or something to play, but the Mystics don't have no championship hopes if they don't have Deladon on the court.
And it was a huge loss. As you said, I mean, Elena Deladon has just been massive for the Washington Mystics. During the season, they went 1-3 in the 4 games that EDD actually missed with an illness. So that shows you they only won 1 game when she was out earlier in the season. I don't know if it's going to change now that it's playoff time. Of course, you hope they step up their game, but that just hurt because things are going well. But luckily, they're saying it's a left knee bruise, so I think it's something that she can come back from. And as you said, they might just have to put a shot in it and hope that she doesn't feel anything because they definitely need her. Even though Natasha Cloud has been playing some great basketball, of course, you have Tolliver. But Elena Deladon is kind of the glue that holds everything together.
So she can get like some treatment or get in a hyperbaric chamber like T.O. did, you know, before the Super Bowl a few years ago. So anything's possible.
Anything is possible. Thank you for keeping our hopes up here, Sonny, because I'm not trying to dimmer anyone, but we just have to keep it real and state the facts. But hopefully the Washington Mystics, of course, get her back and hopefully bring another championship here to the city. We're getting spoiled now. We're getting used to being called champions. So I'm kind of liking this feeling here because in D.C. for a long time, it had been criticized as a minor league city and as a city that no one thought, I think, would get championships anytime soon. So I think we're kind of starting to break that curse, which is a wonderful thing. And now let's get into the biggest news in sports. We're staying in the WNBA. Skylar Diggins, Sonny, has been having to respond to some backlash. So let me take people through this. If you didn't know, of course, Skylar Diggins-Smith is a Dallas Wings point guard, and she's a WNBA All-Star 3 times, people, and she's also earned first team all WNBA honors last season. And so, thanks to all those facts I just said, she's actually the highest paid player on the Dallas Wings WNBA team, and she's endorsed by Body Armor, Puma, and Zappos, and she's also signed to Rock Nation. Hope in the building, yes. But she received some backlash because she basically pinned an online post that talked about male and female athletes and the separations that occur in terms of pay, travel, treatment, and media attention. She wrote that WNBA players make significantly less than their NBA counterparts, which, of course, is no surprise to anyone. League salaries cap out around $115,000, significantly less than the lowest paid bench players. And the NBA, WNBA players can also earn just 22% of the league's annual revenue, while NBA players can earn 50%. And I don't know if people knew this, but WNBA players don't get a percentage of jersey sales, and they're forced to travel commercially rather than on the nice charter flights that you see your favorite NBA teams traveling on. So did you actually get a chance to read her post, Sunny?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read her post per se, but I did hear about it on the internet and on TV a little bit. And let me just say this, I applaud her for speaking her mind and telling the people what those ladies have to endure. Let me just first say that, and I won't criticize her or demean her feelings or her colleagues' feelings. But we all know that I've watched a few WNBA games. The arena is hardly packed. So
right.
Yeah, so if you're not getting sellouts, then how are the owners? First, they don't want to lose money. That's first and foremost. The owners, they don't. And that's just in any business. It's not smart to put out more money than you generate in. That's first and foremost. Now, I don't know if the WNBA has a union or not, but it's not looking good. And the NBA is actually, from what I heard on television, they're actually covering their finances. Now, if they were to get like a high profile player like they did back in the late 90s with Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Swoops, and Tina Thompson, that was the apex of the WNBA. And they were selling out games. They was on NBC for a period of time. Now they're relegated to ESPN and other networks. Now, what their issue was, after those ladies retired in the mid-2000s, like, the ladies are much talented now, but who's the main draw now? You know, there's several ladies, but there's not one person that has stood out like those ladies with the Houston Comets, with Cheryl Swoop, Cynthia Cooper, Tina Thompson. Yeah. Like, you need a Goliath. Like, the Comets were like the Warriors of today.
Yeah, you know, Sonny, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you said everything about the WNBA. You kept it real. And honestly, your thoughts resemble a lot of other people's thoughts. But I'm gonna tell you how I feel about the WNBA and why I think right now, whether or not where they should be, need to be. I think first, we need to acknowledge in America that we don't respect women's sports. And I think that crosses many, many lines and barriers. And I think it starts from an early age to an older age. You go overseas and you don't really see that. And this is why a lot of women players will go overseas and make more money than they do here. And they'll become bigger names than here. Now, I agree to you sometimes that not all WNBA arenas are packed. There are some that are. Not all of them are packed. You can turn on the TV, as you said, and you can see that. But my thing is, in order for the WNBA to grow, I think they do need that support. It's not just going to – I mean, you said it. They used to be on the major networks. Now they're not.
Yeah, NBC. Yeah, back in the late 90s.
Right.
Now I remember the game, the Houston versus New York Liberty, when Teresa Weatherspoon hit the half-court shot. That's how far back I go. Like, I just love basketball, and it is still a good product, but it's all about how you promote the WNBA.
Right.
And I think the NBA has done a poor job, in my opinion, promoting the women's league.
I mean, what does the NBA even do, honestly? Like, beyond having a player go to, like, one or two games a season and doing the commercial they usually do at the beginning of the season, the NBA does not support the WNBA, and that is my problem. Because when you're not growing up with it in your face and stuff, it's kind of harder to become a fan, right? Anywhere you kind of can go, especially if you live in a major city, you can see something that resembles or gets your mind thinking about the NBA, right? You can turn on the TV, and the NBA players is probably going to be in the news somewhere there. The WNBA does not get that respect. And to that regard, I think the WNBA does have stars. You do have your Skylar Diggins. You do have your Brittany Griner, who I think really lead the league. And then, you know, you have your Candace Parker. Hello now. I mean, just a wonderful and truly talented and great player. But I think it's the marketing and branding part that you're talking about that the game needs. But I definitely think they need the support of, I'm not even going to say just the NBA. They need all sports leagues, I think, to help them continue to promote their product. And I think they need to start reaching fans, Sonny, at a younger age. Because I think when you can get exposed to going to a WNBA game earlier in life or watching on TV more, it's going to relate to you. And I think they have a unique niche. They have a market. The WNBA is the first league in the United States, people, to openly welcome the LGBTQ community. And I think that's huge. That is huge. And that means market it and promote it, I think, way more because it's inclusion. It shows you when you go to the WNBA game, you're going to be included. I don't care what you are. And then also, like I said, I think, so Skylar, basically, if you read the whole thing, I mean, she called out players like Harrison Barnes, and I think that was the one that kind of got people more so on her back. She called out Mark Cuban for not even coming to a game. He actually acknowledged that, you know, she has the right to do that, and she's actually right about that. But, I mean, when she really broke down the salaries, I don't care what anybody says. You said it earlier, Sonny. Basketball is basketball. I don't care who's playing it. And I think they do give a quality product, but you're not going to know that if you're not watching it or not even giving it a chance. And I think, unfortunately, that's why the WNBA is where it is, and that even when it's WNBA finals time, we cannot get people to talk about it. And right now it's WNBA playoff time, Sonny. How often are you hearing about the WNBA playoffs on TV right now?
Well, not much, but I think that has to do with the – and I worked in TV for a decade plus, so, and that has to do with, I believe, with the producers of these networks and also the news director. Now, I've worked at Comcast Sportsnet, and I could tell you from personal experience, I've talked to several producers about putting a highlight in this show, and I don't mind saying this for the record, that there was two producers I know for a fact. Oh, they don't watch WNBA basketball. Who watches that? And I remember that conversation. And I said, it's not what you think. It's for the viewers out there. They may like the WNBA basketball. Like every year, well, the Lynx and the Sparks would meet practically in the finals every year. That's good basketball, regardless if you're a male or female.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up that point with me working.
It all comes down to who the producer is for that particular that particular show.
Right, and it happens. They like it or not. All the time. And I agree with you. I've worked in TV and radio and everything, and same thing, right? Sometimes you tell somebody to do a WNBA highlight, they look at you like looking at an alien. Like, they're like looking at you, why would they put that in it? And it's crazy. But at the end of the day, that's why I think it goes back to exposing people at a younger age. Because that producer, and whether it's a guy or girl, they were once a kid, right? And I think that's why the WNBA needs to be, they need to be reaching those households so we can start to get kids to watch it. So hopefully they can grow up respecting the game. Because I think it's a lot harder, Sonny, to make people a fan once they're adults because they're not used to it. And I think when we get adults, you know, you kind of get more stubborn to new things, right? Like if you never liked, let's say, baseball, for example, if you're 37 years old, I don't think there's anybody like, I don't think there's anything that I can do that's all of a sudden going to get you to like baseball, right? And this is why I keep saying that it needs to be a push at a younger age. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it has to be a younger age push. And I think the WNBA, like I said, they need help. The NBA has the resources, I think, to help them get the branding and marketing that they need. Because, like I said, I think they have the package. They have the players. They have the talent. They have the quality product. It's just putting it all together and getting people to come out and support. But I'm glad Skylar Diggins spoke up against it. And I hope we continue to have that conversation because we have to have these uncomfortable conversations for change to ever happen. So I'm proud of Skylar for standing up. I think she knew she was going to get backlash, and she took it. And guess what? So we're having the conversation now. So hopefully now something happens from this conversation.
And I can add one more thing.
Yeah.
I saw on TV that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry attended a WNBA game.
Yeah.
And also
yeah.
Damian Lillard recently came out and said that the WNBA players should be paid more. So some of the NBA players are recognizing the ladies' talent. So basketball, like you said, basketball players are basketball players, regardless if you're a male or female.
Right.
And I'm quite sure everybody has seen Love and Basketball, the movie with Sanaa Lathan, Omar Epps.
My favorite movie.
Yes. Now, if a guy says that he doesn't like that movie or hey, he hasn't saw that movie, they're lying to you.
We all watch Love and Basketball. We grew up with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Love and Basketball,
BET.
Yes.
Like every week, BET will play that movie. So there's no excuse, I think, right now for nobody to have not seen that movie. Oh, like I said, I'm proud of Skylar stepping up. But I want to stay in the NBA, Sunny. Also, mm-hmm. this week is the announcement that the NBA is lifting the color restrictions on player sneakers for the first time in league history. This is pretty big because we know the guys love their kicks. So when you heard this news, Sunny, I mean, what was your immediate thought?
My question is why are they instituting this rule for? Like, who is it benefiting? What are they trying to accomplish?
All right, so I can answer this question. So Nick DiPaolo of ESPN first wrote this news, and basically the way they explained it is that the rule change is part of the league's attempt to give players the additional freedom to express themselves on the court. But this is the important part. An individual team can, however, still impose its own rules regarding footwear and color policy outside of the league's loosened stance. So basically they said the league is going to give players more freedom, but then that the individual teams can actually go back and change it. So basically,
the Golden State Warriors, they have Steph Curry he wears Under Armour. So it's up to the Warriors' discretion whether or not Steph Curry, you can't wear Under Armour, you can't wear the gold and white sneakers tonight because you understand what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. So I will say this. For logos, they said this deal, because I think the colors and the logos are huge. This is a huge thing. So I said the only restrictions will still be regarding the third-party logos, which you're referencing, which will still have to be pre-approved by the league office before players can wear them on the court and against any sharp protruding objects or reflective elements. So those are the restrictions. The third-party logos, you got to get pre-approved. And then if you have anything on your shoe that they consider a sharp protruding object or if it's reflective, you still have to get that approved. So I think the league is saying this. I think what they were trying to do, I think the PR people are like, oh, this is great. We're giving the players more freedom. But, Sunny, when you really look at it, is it really much more freedom, in my opinion? No.
No, because, you have a guy like Lonzo, perfect example, Lonzo Ball. He has the ZO2s.
Right, the big baller brand.
Yeah, so and the way his father, has been vocal and brash about his son and to the media members, do you really think that, I don't know because the season hasn't started yet, do you really think they will let Lonzo wear his ZO2s shoes this year on a basketball court?
Right.
Yeah, and plus,
and we know the league has a sponsorship, right? So, right, is it gonna?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think anything that's gonna hurt their bottom line is not gonna happen because at the end of the day, and I don't care what anybody says, at the end of the day, it's all about money. The NBA
exactly.
will not hurt their bottom line. They're just
and
not
gonna. And he's an independent. He ZO2s remind me of back in the 90s with N1 and Stephon Marbury.
Yes,
but
N1's
was a lot better, not demeaning CO2 and what the Ball family are doing. But it's Stephon Marbury, Lonzo Ball's. Stephon Marbury was an all-star, so he had a little bit more, cachet, and you know,
ooh,
they
did
actually,
you throw some Lonzo shade?
No, I ain't throw no Lonzo.
I'm joking,
shade. Yeah, but you know, Stephon Marbury, Lonzo, like Stephon was an all-star by his second, definitely by his third year.
Yep.
So, like, he had a little bit more leg to stand on. Plus, he's a New York basketball legend right out of high school. He went to Georgia Tech for 1 year. So, he had somewhat of a celebrity status already before he even came into the NBA.
And I will say, I have to shout out Stephon Marbury because I used to wear his shoes, Sonny. And I love that he made them affordable. I think gone are the issues of athletes having affordable shoes for everyone. So I had to give Stephon Marbury some love. So like I said, I think the NBA did this to try to act like they would give you more freedom, because I think we saw last year players, I think especially with everything happening in the country, we saw players trying to use their shoes and different things to be more expressive. So I think in their mind, they thought, okay, let's give them a little bit more freedom with the colors. But then, like I said, if you just read what I told you and how the individual teams can really mandate it, then it's really not much. So the NBA tried it, but I think we saw through it.
Yeah, basically, they is, put it this way, it's all about action. Like, let LeBron go out there and wear, like, shoes that with Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Eric Garner on his shoe, just those designs with their faces on there. Let's see
and
what the NBA
think about
does.
The media, right, that would be, I mean, think about the media attention that would get. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You remember the players wearing the I Can't Breathe shirts, right?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't think about that. And the hoodies, you know, they
yeah, like, hoodie, I mean, yeah,
Mello.
The hoodies.
Hoodie Mellow.
Hoodie Mellow, right. Mellow started this hood trend, and now we all love it. But I think that's where this can lead to if the teams, and I don't think it's a bad thing, because I think I'm for athletes expressing themselves, and if it's through their shoes, I mean, I think that's one of the best parts of the game sometimes, when you like, because a lot of times that's how they will express themselves. If you like interview a player and you ask them about their shoe design, they'll usually go into a pretty long story about it. So I mean, I'm hoping this leads to more freedom, but I just feel like the NBA, you know, is going to shut it down anytime a player tries to get, let's say, too expressive for their likes.
Yeah,
and speaking
yeah.
about too expressive, Sonny, we have to go to Jemele Hill conversation. I know you've probably been waiting to talk about this.
I'm very familiar with her story, yes.
Yes. I mean, so Jemele Hill, 12 years at ESPN, right? Of course,
oh, she was there that long? 12 years?
12 years. Of course, she's been in different positions, but she's been there 12 years. She first joined them in 2006, okay? So if you guys remember back to last year, let's go back to October 2017 when ESPN actually had suspended her for 2 weeks after she sent the tweets about Jerry Jones, who had said he would bench his players if they did not stand for the national anthem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Hill was suspended. She's, if you, and I feel like most people know the situation. Of course, she's expressing her thoughts on Twitter because it's her First Amendment rights, and she doesn't agree with everything. She even had the President of the United States attack her and basically say she doesn't deserve her job. Well, reports have it now that she is being bought out. Okay, so basically, Jemele Hill and ESPN will be going their separate ways. Her departure is said to be amicable. All right, so I know you probably have a lot of thoughts on this, and let's say so. Jemele Hill, I will say also this: she's with ESPN, the Undefeated now, and of course, the ESPN's Undefeated is a microstate that combines sports, culture, race, and other things together. And then before this, she was of course on SportsCenter, The Six, with Mike. So I'm just okay. Her and Michael Smith, I actually really liked a lot. I was kind of sad The Six ended, but. Jemele Hill, what do you think? Let me ask you this first. What do you think her legacy will be with ESPN, and kind of what standard do you think she'll leave behind?
Well, remember when Stewart came to ESPN, and he would like put the rap lingo and with his highlights. It wasn't embraced at first. It wasn't until the late 90s, early 2000s. And sadly, when he got his cancer diagnosis and he passed away, the Dominant Society recognized his greatness. That's what Jemele Hill and Michael Smith legacy going to be, because they were the two they never had a female African-American anchor and a male African-American anchor at the same time hosting a show on ESPN. So that can inspire anybody, you know, whether they black, Hispanic, that if Michael and Jamel could do it, hey, I can do it. So they are trailblazers. They're actually trailblazers. But I go back when they was on His and Hers. I actually prefer them to be on His and Hers because they could be more themselves. But at the 6 p.m. show, you got all of America from all demographics, all religions watching that show. And I think that stifled them and pigeonholed them. If they was on at 4 o'clock with His and Hers, I think that was their true personality. But 6 o'clock, they couldn't do that. Now, if you ask them personally, like off the record, they probably wish that they was at His and Hers. But, you know, of course, you have to grow and mature. And, of course, they was getting paid more money during the 6 p.m. because they probably had bills and have responsibilities they have to take care of. So I can understand why they wanted the opportunity to be on a 6 p.m. show.
And I'm like you. I loved His and Hers. But I think they picked that His and Hers concept. And try something new, which I think we do need to give them credit for, Michael and Jamel, the Sports Center. But you're right, that Sports Center, and especially that 6 o'clock time frame, it's a different crowd. So I think what originally worked with His and Hers, you know, they had a harder time adjusting to. And quite frankly, I don't even know if we gave them enough time to still try it out. And I think it just goes back to, though, unfortunately, as media, and this is a real thing, like for me, I personally, Sonny, I really don't try to get political on social media. Because unfortunately, I mean, I think this is honestly not just in media jobs, but many jobs, sometimes you can't be political because if your employer has a different standpoint or they stand a different way, it can cause for trouble. Now, Jamel, I love that she used her platform to do it, and I thought she had the right to do it. She worked her way up to get to the spot she was in. Jamel Hill has set a new precedent in sports reporting, not just for media reporters, but for women, for black women, and I think she's a true icon and a true role model. And I had no problem with her expressing her beliefs and thoughts, just as she was saying the players have a right to do. But I saw social media, not all social media agreed with her, and social media was coming for her many times, and some of her fellow coworkers who didn't agree with her thoughts. So I think that's when ESPN stepped in and was just trying to see, is it worth all the attention that they were getting? And, you know, some of that attention they didn't want. So unfortunately, I think it kind of caused ESPN to kind of play the safe button. And I wish Jamel the best. You know, I can't wait to see her next venture. But, I mean, what she did at ESPN was truly incredible, Sonny.
See, the reason why ESPN was caught between the whole – these networks want controversy, but they people like Jamel Hill speak out – and the president of the United States speak out. They basically ESPN playing both sides against the other. They probably was, Jamel, give more of that. But President Trump be like, oh, you can't talk about the NFL, can't talk about standing for the flag, you know, taking the knee for the flag. So ESPN was playing both sides against the other, and they knew what they were doing. It's all about ratings. It's all about ratings.
Right at the end of the day, ratings.
And my thing is, you know, they always tell you, "Oh, speak your mind," but yet at the end of the newscast, our anchors don't, our views don't reflect the viewership of this network. Something like that is they say at the end of the newscast. Yeah.
And most personalities say that on their Twitter accounts, right? These views and opinions on my own. They do not reflect my employer.
That's what it is. Yeah. So that me personally, since I'm not employed with Comcast no more, it's just I do my own thing with Feedback the magazine. I try to stay away from religion and politics in the workplace when I was working there.
In the workplace.
But now I have the freedom to do my own thing. I really don't care because at the end of the day, I lay down as a black man and I wake up as a black man. And like LeBron James said on the shop last night, it's people don't have no idea if you're not black. I'm just paraphrasing, but when he had to explain to his kids like why the N word was written on his house, that's
explained it so well. And I do want people to realize that though, and I'll say it again. When you work for a media company, and honestly, any company sometimes, it's like you kind of know, I think, what you can say, right? Like, we all know freedom of expression. Yes, we have it, but there are restrictions.
Yeah.
But I think also when you get to a certain point, and this is my personal thing, like, I think Jemele had reached that level where I think she could express her opinion. But I think, as you said, when it got really controversial, and it's not, I mean, it's like people like to protect, you know, like to protect themselves. And when she had the president of the United States coming after her, I mean, I think, you know, people really looked at, you know, what do we do? And there was a lot of voices in the room. And obviously, it seems like a lot of voices, you know, were the ones that wanted to part ways. But, I mean, Jemele's always somebody that's going to land on her feet. I think she'll continue to. And she's somebody.
Oh, yeah. She'll land on her feet. But she didn't have the complexion for the protection for the collection. That's a Paul Mooney saying. Like, she didn't have that because she's a black woman. Or she's an African-American. Now, what's the guy? Bill O'Reilly, anybody over at Fox News, they can spew all that hatred all they want to because they're not going to get fired. They're not going to get fired. So we got to articulate our thoughts differently. We got to convey our thoughts differently. And while trying to not lose our black card within the black community, because people at home would say, well, why you not saying that? Because people don't realize that while it's very few of us or them on TV, that we got to play it safe because we say one bad thing on TV or we get fired and we get blacklisted and our careers is over. And people at home can't realize, people at home think, oh, you're on TV, you can say what you want to say. That's not the case because it's taken years for Jemele Hill, Michael Smith, Stephen A. Smith, who I'm shaky on, Shannon Sharp, to get to that level.
And right, it's different levels to it. But like I said, at the end of the day, and I tell people this all the time, and they're like, oh, well, you know, you should speak up on this or that. No, I mean, unfortunately, it's like there's limitations. And so I stay away from politics on my social media accounts and kind of like your religion because it's just touchy-feely stuff. And, you know, it's just a conversation that right now I cannot get in. But again, I think that's what we saw with the whole national anthem controversy, right? Depending on what side of the table you are on, you know, can you express your rights at your workplace and at your job? And you have people on both sides of the spectrum. But Sunny, I want to go to our last topic. I want to switch over to our Woman Crush Everyday segment and go over to Serena Williams, staying on Black Woman in Controversy. Serena Williams, if you did not hear the latest about this, basically the tennis star and the new mom, she wore a black Nike cat suit like outfit. You got to go see the pictures. It looked great on her, and she looks amazing after having a baby. She wore it to the French Open, okay? So basically, she posted a picture of it, and she said, cat suit anyone? For all the moms out there who had a tough recovery from pregnancy, here you go. If I can do it, so can you. Love you all. It's a very inspiring message, wasn't it? And basically, we found out that she had wore the cat suit because Serena Williams had actually suffered from blood clots from her pregnancy. So it wasn't just something that to look cute. It was actually something for her health. Well, several months later, just as the U.S. Open is about to get underway, the Tennis Magazine published an interview with the French Tennis Federation president, which he said the cat suit would run afoul of a new but not yet in effect French Open dress code. So basically saying the cat suit would go against the new dress code that the French Open has. He said it will no longer be accepted. Now, mind you, Serena had wore this prior. And then he added, one must respect the game and the place. Williams shrugged it off. In that announcement at a pre-U.S. Open news conference, she basically said she doesn't plan to be a repeat fashion offender. But she followed that up by wearing another bodysuit outfit from Nike. And then who came to her aid was, of all people, Billie Jean King, who said, "The policing of women's bodies must end." I love it. I don't even know if I can say anything else of it. I think Billie Jean just summed it up well. But all of this stuff going to Serena, feels like we hear her name all the time. Do you feel like she's unfairly targeted, Sunny?
Of course. Of course. And not just with the outfit, with the drug testing. You know, she's drug tested by more. She's, I believe she's drug tested 10 times more than the other female tennis players because, and this is just my opinion, I've had to preface this with my opinion, they can't believe that a black woman can be this good without cheating. You got to remember, Nike released a commercial with her dad teaching her and Venus how to play soccer. They were like 8, 9 years old. That's documentation right there. So they've been playing over 25 years, more than most kids have been alive. So they're going to be good. They're going to be good. And also, that French president, who's the president of the French Open, he don't know what he did by him banning that cat suit. Her tutu will be going off the shelves.
Because
she designs clothes. Her and her sister.
You know it's going to be crazy.
Ever happened to her?
And that is a crazy, crazy thing. But I completely agree. I think you're right. I mean, if anything, right, it's going to sound like crazy. And let's not forget, Nike is a brand. So she posted this: "You can take the superhero out of her costume, but you can never take away her superpowers." And this is actually what the Girl Scouts had tweeted as they jumped into it. They tweeted after her health conscious tattoo got banned by the French Open, the Girl Scout alum said, "They won our hearts in her match in a tutu," which you talked about, and they actually called her a queen. So everyone
jumped to her defense. Nike has even jumped to her defense, saying that is actually more important. So that just tells you. We all have her back.
And I'm going to make this declaration right now. Every girl for Halloween going to want that tutu. Their mom or dad a tutu.
You know it.
For Halloween. I'm telling
Amazon
you because.
Get the crazy amount of orders and everything. We all want to do it, right?
Yes. Like Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high.
We go high. Yes.
Yes. And that's what Serena, I don't really watch tennis like that, but, you know, I watch from afar. But I can't even talk, but
it was crazy, too, because of how important Serena Williams is to the game of tennis.
Yeah, she sells out those tennis stadiums. Like, that's like LeBron James not wearing his arm sleeve. Because it gives him a
shot. Or tell Tiger Woods he can't wear a certain polo in golf. I mean, these are the biggest names. So you want to nitpick over an outfit that, and actually she had a reason to be wearing it. Like, and this is why I'm laughing now, just because I think it's honestly crazy. But Serena, keep on being you. Keep on sprinkling black girl magic. And Sunny, wow, this show went too fast. I want to thank you for being such an awesome guest.
Oh, no problem. Anytime, Kelsey, and thanks for having me on. We got to do this again.
We definitely will. You are listening to Sunny Pinkney. Sunny, thank you so much for joining me. And to everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. And that's not enough. The show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until later this week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.